wisdom is proved right by her actions. Another version says, wisdom is shown by its offspring. The kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing in forceful men laying hold of it. Some versions say the kingdom of God is suffering violence, and the violent ones are laying hold of it. Violent ones. I got a message this morning, and I hope nobody gets violent with me. But I'm going to be preaching this morning. I've been doing a series on heroes from the Old Testament. I decided as I was going through Genesis to preach on Tamar. So any of you who've ever heard that story, maybe you're eyebrows are lifting a little bit, and she would be a hero? Yes, Tamar is a hero to me. I'll tell you a little bit why a little bit later, but if I were to suggest to you that a woman who dressed up as a prostitute and then seduced her father-in-law into sleeping with her and had babies by him, that woman is a hero of the faith. What would you think of me? Scandalous, isn't it? Yeah, and what if I stood before you and said, yeah, you know, actually a lot of prostitutes and a lot of scoundrels, they're entering heaven ahead of many of you. Would I offend you with that statement? Anyway, we'll see if things get violent around here. I have a feeling I've at least got your attention now, don't I? So on that last point, you can imagine then what the Pharisees were thinking. How angered they got at this idea as Jesus told them that the prostitutes and tax collectors, they were entering the kingdom of heaven ahead of them. Excuse me? Many of them Pharisees, the righteous, upstanding religious leaders of the day, prostitutes, and these tax collectors, they're sellouts, they're traitors, bunch of greedy ingrates. They are ahead of us, marching the kingdom. You better explain yourself, Jesus. I'll tie that together a little bit here at the end. The prostitutes, then we've got this story, Tamar, okay, Genesis 38. All right, let me give it to you in somewhat of a nutshell, all right? So, Judah. He is one of the 12 sons, all right? One of the 12 tribes were then established. It was Judah, all right? Famous brother Joseph. You remember Joseph? I'll be preaching on him next week. So, Judah ended up having 3 sons, all right? At the beginning, anyway, 3 sons. So, there is a woman, Tamar. She marries the first son. But God deems this son as wicked, and so kills him. Well, she's a widow. Well, the custom of the day is, all right, it's so important in Israel in that time that you would carry on the name, you know, the family name, that when a brother dies, in order to carry on his family name, the other brother must then get together with his widow, trying to have children, and then that first child, the firstborn son, would be named after the deceased brother so that his name can continue on. I mean, it was very important, right? So Judah gives then this woman to his second son, but this guy ends up being, well, a scoundrel, and he makes up his mind that, I don't want to do this. I don't want to have children in my brother's name. So anyway, I'm not going to go into the details as it does in the Bible, but basically he makes it that she's not going to get pregnant. God looks down on this and God says, this son's wicked too. God puts him to death. 2 down, 1 to go. Judah is thinking, I don't know if this woman's like a black widow, but each of my sons that I've given to her, they die. So he's thinking it's her fault. So he says, tell you what, you know, the younger son, he's not quite of age, so why don't you go live in your father's house for a while, and then I'll call you. Yeah. Many years go by, this son becomes mature, and Judah isn't doing anything about this. But in that day, a woman has 0 rights and no voice at all. All right? She can't even voice a complaint about this. But here she is, twice now a widow, and getting upset about this. In the meantime, Judah's wife dies. And after an appropriate time of mourning, he goes off to, I can't remember what town, Tears or something like that, and he is going to go and join his men as they're shearing the sheep. And Tamar gets wind of this. Must be kind of near her town. So she takes off her clothes of mourning, dresses herself, dusties herself up, I'm sure, puts on a veil, sits at the city gate, and seduces Judah as he comes through. So Judah, thinking she's a prostitute, which, as an aside, what is Judah picking up a prostitute for anyway? Man, this is in the Bible? Oh, yeah. Turn off your soap operas, y'all. I mean, it doesn't get much juicier than this, right? She thinks she's a prostitute, says, come sleep with me. So what will you give me? A young goat. Well, what will you give me as an assurance? Well, what do you want? Why don't you give me your staff, she says, and your seal and its cord. So the seal and its cord, it's kind of like a signet ring, but must be, have a symbol where, you know, like when they're sealing a document or something to, you know. Anyway, so the seal and its cord and your staff. Fine. So, boom, sleeps with her. And then she goes away, stays at home, and she became pregnant. Pregnant with twins, as a matter of fact, from this. 3 months goes by, it becomes evident she's pregnant. Everyone assumes the worst, and so word gets back to Judah, your daughter-in-law has been prostituting herself, and she's now pregnant. He says, bring her out, let's burn her. All right, and as they're coming after her to get her, she says, why don't you ask him first whose staff this is, whose seal and cord this is? Please, go and ask Mr. Judah. They bring to the attention of Judah the staff, the seal in his cord. And he says, she is more righteous than I am because I did not give to her my third son. Call it off. And so, in that day, even though for us, but she slept with her father. Evidently, that wasn't so bad, especially him being a widow and because he hadn't been right to her, so everything's fine. And she does have two boys, two twins. The first one is Perez, how do I pronounce it? And that son goes on, and it's from his descendants that we have, through the line of Judah, King David and Jesus. Now, from this scandalous affair, we actually have, as the blessings continue, King David and Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The most amazing thing to me is, when it came to this scandal, God wasn't embarrassed by it. You got dirt? All right. Do you need to put on a mask before you come into church? Cover up that dirt? Bring it on. Tell you what, this story, the thing that so excites me about this story more than anything else in the story is, that is the message I think it gives to us. It's not even so much Tamar, but now we're talking about this God of grace who says, scandal? I know you got dirt. Bring it. Bring it to me. And let's see what we can do. We'll work on that sin together. My intention is to bless you. And even to do some amazing things. And bless even the results of the scandal. I will bless you, God says. Now that is grace. As for Tamar, a hero? I mean, come on. Is she a hero? Well, and maybe some of you remember in my first message, I had 8 or 9 criteria of heroism. I gave this silly little illustration just to help you to remember it, okay? I'll repeat it, but okay. So if you can picture then, there's a person with the face of a lion receiving a telephone call, looking up, eyes up, hangs up the phone, and he puts on a breastplate, picks up a shield, takes this mallet, rings the shield, and it reverberates. All of a sudden, puts on a golden ring, and then goes flying out of the house, leaping over the couch as he goes. What? That's just bizarre. Okay, here's what I'm getting at. Okay, that little thing helps you to remember these eight different characteristics of a hero. Okay, a person with a lion's face, the lion symbolizes what quality? Courage. The lion's courageous, unless you're thinking Wizard of Oz. Anyway, courageous, all right? So answering call, heroes are people that are called by God. Called by looking up, their eyes are always set above. They're not concerned about the earthly things. They've got their focus on heavenly things, right? All right? Hangs up the phone, puts on a breastplate. If you remember in Ephesians 6, Paul describing the armor of God, it's the breastplate of righteousness. And so heroes, they have a strong sense of righteousness. And then in that same Ephesians 6, the shield is a shield of faith. And they're noted, or they have a notable level of faith. And then taking a mallet and like a gong or something, you know, with that banging against that shield and it reverberates. That reverberation symbolizes the influence they have. Heroes, the biblical heroes, their influence just radiates out. Like in the case of Tamar, by her actions, that influence went on through the line of Judah, leading to King David and even Jesus Christ himself. Talk about influence, a woman of influence. Wow, right? Okay, and then it is putting on a ring, a gold ring, because the ring is a symbol of faithfulness. And so these heroes were faithful to God. And then taking this running leap and leaping over the couch as they go out, they overcome great obstacles. Talk about a hero. Tamar overcame this massive obstacle because, like I said, in this male-dominated society where women were just chattel means just things, just possessions, even to be bought and sold, really. And they had no voice. But she would not stand for this unrighteousness in her father-in-law, Judah. And even though she had not even any legal recourse, she couldn't even go to the courts. And they wouldn't even listen to her. They wouldn't let her in. What could she do? But she would not stand for it. And what does Jesus say in the Beatitudes? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. She had this hunger and thirst for righteousness. This isn't right. I'm going to make it right. Now, I don't want you to go too far with that and all of a sudden start lying and deceiving and all these kind of things just to get your way. Walk in the will of God. And when you come against obstacles, the hero will creatively find a way, and especially through prayer with God, to surmount that obstacle and press forward for the sake of righteousness and justice. Courageous? That woman was courageous. She came this close to being burned at the stake, y'all. This close if the plan hadn't worked, right? She was courageous and she had faith. I don't doubt she did this with prayer. I really don't doubt that God was smiling down upon her. I mean, again, if God was embarrassed about this, why is this story even in the Bible then? And beyond Genesis 38, in Matthew, the beginning of Matthew, if you read the genealogy of Jesus, in other words, the family tree of Jesus, doesn't even list then Perez. I mean, maybe it does. It says Perez, the son of Tamar. List it right there, proudly so. Oh, yeah. In other words, God's saying, this is my son, this is his family tree, and there is Tamar. God's saying, I'm proud of her. Yeah. But again, here's the main point I really want to drive it home. Bring your dirt. God isn't, he isn't turned off by all our scandals. Bring it on. Bring it. Now, understand what God's wanting us to do is bring it so that he can walk with us with our sin and change us. It's not like he's saying, bring your scandal and continue on, party on, dudes. Bring it, he says, and let's work together. And if you'll let me, I will put my Holy Spirit in you, and the work of transformation the Holy Spirit will do in your life will be phenomenal. That is God's invitation to us. And I think this story demonstrates that wonderfully. So yeah, Tamar, what a hero. But what a story of God's grace and his goodness. And I just want to encourage you, that same grace is available to every single person here. God is not looking down and saying, Tamar, oh yeah, I'm proud of her, but that guy, No. And perish the thought we would have to wear masks coming in here, coming to church. I would hate it as a pastor if that was how our church was. No. You are welcome here. Dirt and all. And let's walk together in repentance. But leave the masks at home. Leave the masks at home. Because honestly, if we needed to wear masks, I'd be the first person to need one. So receive this message of grace and receive God's grace. And may he bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.